Hey, Screeters, do you ever have that feeling, or even better yet, do you know in the books or in the movies when they have the one character who is totally overcome and all he cares about is vengeance, and then they ask the moral dilemma, what happens when your vengeance succeeds? What do you have to live for? Do you ever feel like all you ever wanted was this? But then once you have it, now all you ever wanted is something else. I do. It is September 4th, maybe September 5th, 2018. I am Jason Hobbs, and this is Random Screed.
Hi, Jason, Colin. Yeah, man, the king is dead. Long live the king. Indeedy, indeed. Best of luck with that. Hope I didn't derail your episode too much with my questions. Yeah, I appreciate your speedy response, and yeah, what you're saying makes a lot of sense to me. I think Zach Smith, yeah, he does try and create a product that is usable at the table, and that's a fair comment, and I'm glad you agree with me on that, and we see eye to eye. Neo Grognards, thankfully you did give an explanation. Otherwise, that would have been my next question. You're killing me with these OSR splinter groups, man. I hear what you're saying about the haters. Yeah, life's too short. I mean, I sent out a rake of messages today to all the anchorites, and I try to keep them sort of light-hearted, and I don't understand these people that they just want to hate on stuff. You know, it's lame, isn't it? I think it's exciting what you're doing. You've parted from misdirecting Mark, and I wish you all the best in your new sort of venture. I've now got to suss out how I get Hobbs and Friends on my phone now. But yeah, that's not a problem. I'll figure it out. I'm just crap with this stuff. So yeah, have a good weekend, mate. Catch you later.
That was Colin from Spike Pit. Thanks for calling in, Colin. If I am the man that created or inspired the OSR anchorites, Colin Green is the man who kept it all together and keeps it going. So thanks for that, Colin, as well as your call in. My weekend was full of gaming and stuff. I'm going to talk about it more later, I think. As far as haters go, I'm with you, man. There's no reason to say anything bad about anybody. So we all know what we like and what we want to be involved in, and all we can do is be the people that we like and want to be involved with. The rest of that will just have to shake itself out, I think. So as always, thanks for calling in. Next up, Larry Hamilton, Follow Me and Die.
Hey Hobbs, this is Larry with Follow Me and Die. I had a couple thoughts on the whole health topic. It all comes down to inertia and motivation. And inertia, because it's hard to change the way we've always done things. You do certain things for 5, 10, 15, 20 or more years, and then you realize I'm not in the shape I want to be. Well, it took a long time to get where you are. You're not going to get back to where you want to be overnight. And about motivation, years ago, I heard somebody say that everybody's motivated. You can't motivate somebody. They're already motivated. To get them to change their focus, you have to guide them. And it takes a lot of energy to change what you're motivated about. So that's my struggle. I'm sure we all...
Oh, man, for sure, Larry. First off, thanks for calling in. Second, you're right. I even think the inertia is even stronger. Because like you said, once you get something moving in a particular direction, it's more difficult to change that direction, especially if it's to put it in reverse and get it moving in that direction, right? We're not just knocking it askance. We're stopping it and reversing a trend that's been going on for an extended period of time. And hey, I am not anywhere near perfect about it. Nowhere near. In fact, I haven't been able to work out for the last couple times that we were supposed to. And I think I'll get into that more as the episode goes on. But as always, I appreciate the call in. Thanks for the feedback. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Hobbs, just wanted to comment on your latest random screed and the art house segment you did. I really like some of the art house stuff, and I found a good way to use it in my table. Now, this is obviously a stolen idea. Zach S. wrote a big thing on how to use Carcosa at your table. Carcosa is full of different kinds of people, red people, orange people, blue people, yellow people. And what he said was instead of using these in the setting, you can port them to your table by changing red people to orcs, blue people to elves, yellow people to humans and such. I found a lot of tables in his Red and Pleasant Land drop really good into my setting. His random encounter tables has a table next to it that says, what are they doing? And I really love that part, like in a random encounter table. Not just stumbling upon six goblins, but hey, what are those goblins doing? Are they hunting? Are they fucking with a bunch of boars? You know, that kind of thing. All right, my minute's almost up. Talk to you soon.
That is Rich Fraser of Cockatrice Nuggets. Yeah, man. I'm not saying that the things don't have pieces that you can use. What I am saying is you have more work to do in order to use them than you would if you just had good vanilla. I'm talking about a product that is ready to just drop into your campaign. You're rolling on some random tables, a ruin or a lair pops up. You open up your book of good vanilla, you pull out the ruin or lair, and it fits. And you don't have to change all the people into goblins, orcs, and whatever. I mean, in some ways, we're talking on opposite ends of the spectrum. I'm not sure any book could ever, or any adventure purchased could ever drop in perfectly. I'm just trying to talk about the amount of work involved. In our conversations, we talk about, if I'm buying a product, why do I want to have to put more work in before I can use it? But in some ways, it's not all totally true either, because if you find a cool idea somewhere, then maybe it's worth the money. You know, I don't know. These are just random rants or screeds from a random mind. And no one has to agree with them. And I'm not trying to offend anyone with my opinions. I'm just talking about them. I really would like to see, I'm not talking about Tolkien, but I do believe there is some value in the good vanilla. Gabor Lux, Greg Gillespie, all writing good products that are, James Spahn. We're all the same, but we're all different, right? So everyone's going to have different things that talk to them. And the super weird is just too weird for me. I can get a little weird. Don't let me fool you. But I think my level of weird compared to other levels of weird can be significantly different. And everyone has a different place they want to dial it to, I think. And that dial can change. So it's a moving goalpost. So either way, I'm just trying to say or explain how I think about things. If people like the idea, then they can use it too. Maybe it will help us speak more intelligently about the hobby or the niche of the hobby that we all live in or love. So as always, Rich, thank you very much for calling in. I appreciate it. Damn, I was going to give you all some transitions, but they don't seem to be coming up in anchor. So you're just going to have to live with the transitionless random screed. I don't know if you guys can handle it. Hell, I don't know if I can handle it. But it is what it is. So, in the past 5 days, I've ran more than 20 hours of my BX house ruled Kalmata Island Adventure game. It was awesome, intimidating, exhausting, all the things that you would imagine it could be. On Friday, we ran the Kalmata for Kids charity event. We only really plugged it for a couple days, so no one really knew about it. But we almost always had 10 to 15 people in the chat room chatting it up. Thank you very much to Dungeon Musings, Kevin Madison, for helping with all that. As always, my tech guy, Jose Licario, did a great job making it look as good as he could. The players were great. We had a pretty good time. I've been struggling with Roll20 recently because they changed the way tokens deal with dynamic lighting, and that's an aspect of the game and playing on Roll20 that I really like. So I'm a little frustrated with that. I hope they fix that or put out a tutorial, or I can figure out what in the hell I'm doing wrong. That would be fantastic. Thanks to all the people that donated. We raised over $400, which I don't know how much that really is in the scheme of things, but if I can run a game and have a good time with my friends and make $400 for a charity, that's pretty awesome. So thank all of you people that donated. I really, really appreciate it. I'm not going to say any names because I'll probably forget someone. And I know it was mostly my biggest fan people and guys playing the actual game. Regardless, it was a good time. There's still some ramifications, you know. Dribbling or affecting the campaign, rippling. Like a rock in a pool or a pond. The things ripple and touch other things, and that's where some of the fun starts. That's where the emergent storytelling begins to show itself. So Friday, I ran that game for about 7 hours. Sunday, we played at the GRGA, which is my family home group I talk about. It's a face-to-face game. My brother contacted me, though. He's my half-brother, actually, and so he's got a family that I'm not related to in any way, and mentioned his cousin's daughter asking about playing Dungeons & Dragons, and Monty was like, hey, we got a game, and she could get into that if she wants. So instead of playing our regular Call of Cthulhu game, since it was Labor Day, it was not a real GRGA event. It was supposed to be next week, but I know I can't make it on this week, so I said, let's do it this week. But instead of playing Call of Cthulhu like we have been, we thought it might be nice to ease her into the game, and so we're going to play Super High Mortality Rate Kalmata with me running instead. I'm not sure that's the greatest choice, but it seemed to work for us and for her. So, Tori, I hope you had a good time. I know you're not listening to this, but regardless, it was really awesome having you in the game. It was my privilege to be the first GM that you ever played Dungeons & Dragons of any type with. And it is even more exciting to make that game be BX. So the world comes full circle sometimes. And it's pretty, I don't know, pretty amazing to be a part of that. So that was another 7 or 8 hour game of Kalmata, but it was face to face. So there are some interesting hurdles that exist, or differences that exist, between playing a game online and playing a game face to face that you don't really consider. Mostly the visuals that online can bring compared to the visuals of a face to face game. So I use dynamic lighting, and you can see yourself moving around with a limited field of vision because of that dynamic lighting. So what we did is I set up my laptop, and we set up a monitor for the players so they could actually watch it as if it was online. So we had the camaraderie of a face-to-face interaction, but some of the visuals of the online aspect. So I think it was pretty awesome. The extra time that it probably took to mess around with the stuff, Elite was okay because it alleviated some of the time that it would have taken to explain things or better try to describe things. Though I did try to lay on the description pretty heavy because I wanted to create a precedent for the new player of how things should go. So when they when she's playing games, you know, I want her to be able to think, oh, when he ran it, you know, we did this and it was really awesome because we could I could really picture the things because of the way he described them. So I think that is really cool, and I had a really good time playing it. But now we're talking about of a 3-day weekend, I've spent 14 hours of it running D&D games and not at all with my family. So that's pretty interesting. And try to talk about balance. That brings us into the next subject, I believe.
Status report.
All right, so I don't know if it was related or not related, but I think I've had a lot of agitation simmering, and I think I have been taking that out on my loved ones more than I should, projecting on them. I think that's common. It's easier to do it to the people that we love than it is the people that we don't know, for whatever reason, be it job, business networking, or whatever. But it always can become too much. And it's really not acceptable anyway, but I admit that I have done it. And I also would like to say, for me, that depression lies. And what I mean by that is, when I am in the throes of depression, I can't always trust what my brain is telling me because it's all slanted through the eyes of depression. So when I have problems or long-lasting issues that exist in my life, that you can't always fix everything or work through everything. Sometimes you just can't because maybe the person's dead. But I guess you could still try in different ways to work through that for your own grief. But what I'm talking about is these situations in life. I guess I don't know how other people do it, but I tend to maybe not give them the air that they need. Like an open wound should really get air, and you want to keep it soft so it can heal from the inside out. I tend to hard scab it, and so the wound is always kind of there, festering beneath the surface. And when something happens, or I guess I should say this. So because of that, I often will have a happy demeanor or excited facade that I wear. But that anger and pain and hurt is lurking there underneath. And it can often make me seem like I don't care about things, because if it's I learn information or something happens pertaining to those things that I've tucked away, then I'm not going to really engage with them. I'm going to slide past it or sidle over it or almost sidestep it. But like I say, that makes people think that I don't care then. Why would you do that? Why don't you care about this? It's not that I don't care about it. It's that I can't really think about it right now because I'm not capable of it. But sometimes things happen and you have to open those wounds. And when that happens to me, then I am in very bad spiral place. And it's hard for me to come out of it or to do anything except feel really bad. It's like looking into the black mirror and seeing all your self-loathing stare back out at you. Which I don't really deal very well with. I'm not sure anybody does, but if just talking about it can help one person, then help you relate to somebody else and not feel alone, then it's worth it to me. So I was in this place over the weekend. It makes you wonder. I mean, there's a few different things that I've been slacking on just because I'm feeling tired, not maybe keeping up on my vitamin D medication, not wanting to work out as much, feeling overwhelmed and tired by energy as opposed to feeling like a battery that's there to help me. It just feels like more and more and more, and I just feel like I'm getting beat down farther and farther. But a lot of that is perspective, and that's where the lies of depression come in. If we can change our perspective, we can change how we feel about things. When you or someone else says, you know, it's your fault that I feel this way, or it's your fault that this happened, it's not. We are in charge of ourselves, and it's our responsibility in how we interact with things that happen to us. So do your best. Like always, try and filter through the lies, be them from someone else or from yourself during depression, and try to make choices that are cemented or solidly built on the foundations of our lives that we have and create when we're not depressed, when we don't have a stinking lying deceiver like depression whispering in our ears and telling us untruths or changing our perspective about things in an untrue way. Because it'll do it. It seriously will. You gotta watch it, people. I'm not gonna harp on this too much. I had already talked about it once, but Anchor lost my previous thing, which is awesome because it's not the easiest thing for me to talk about, of course. But there it is, guys. Sometimes it's just the way that it is, and we got to look past and survive and try and fix everything that we fucked up while we were down when we're not down. So here's to not being down, people. Love you. Good day.